Well, good morning again. Our time is now. What in the world have you been doing this week? Remember, we have goals. We have goals as a congregation. We are not here simply to bask in the privilege of our salvation. We have things that God has called us to do, and the time is growing short. Do you realize that we have less time right now than we ever have had to do the will of God? I mean, just think about that for a second. There's less time right now than there's ever been to do God's will, to expand His kingdom. So the question this morning is, as we think about our goals for 2013, and you know, you guys are going to get tired of this slide, because we've only got like 44 more times to see it, but who have you been talking to this week? Who are you praying for? Are we reaching our numbers? Are our members? I mean, are we planning on being here on a Sunday morning? You know, does Saturday night, do our plans involve, what am I going to, you know, how is this going to affect me tomorrow? You know, there's a lot of things that I can't do on a Saturday night because I got to work in the morning. You know, I can't stay out with my friends and go to the late movie and all that kind of stuff. We can do trivia because I'm home by like 9 o'clock. But see, I can't be out all, you know, I can't really, because I got to be here. I got to work. I got to be here on Sunday morning, and that's my job. But, you know, we all have this job to be here to encourage one another, to show the importance of this ministry to those who we are inviting. So are we reaching our numbers? Are we planning on being here? Are we thinking, you know what, I'm just going to go on that trip and that trip and that trip and that trip, and I'm going to, you know, well, I haven't been to church in like 5 weeks. Well, you know, I'll get there. Are we reaching our numbers? All that matters. Are we trying to double this congregation? Are we trying to do that? Are you in a small group? Are you connected with a small group here? And what is your ministry? Have you thought about those things this week? Now, the good news is that if you haven't, you have a whole nother week to really get on the ball and think about it. And so next week, when I ask these exact same questions, I do not take this slide out of the lineup. That's going to be there. It's a little cheat sheet for you. That's going to be there. I'm going to ask these questions. And how you feel right now, do you want to feel different and say, I got a name I was talking about. Man, I can't wait till Shane asks me that next week, because this coming week, because I got a name now. Now, I'm not going to say that name, but God and I are going to have this moment when that name's going to be, and God's like, yeah, I remember you praying about that guy. Who are you talking to? Who are you trying to bring? The good news is, though, we've got this new journey. We can begin this new journey every day, every week, where the most important thing to us is the kingdom. And I want to start a kind of a sub-series in this whole new journey thing. And it really goes perfectly with what happened last week. And I don't mean to pick on Mitchell, but last Sunday, Mitchell comes to me and he said, Shane, today's the day. And he said, today's the day that I want to take that next step. You know, not in so many words, but he said, you know, we've been talking about this, we've been praying about this, we've been studying about this, but, you know, today is the day. And so this morning, I want to invite you to take the next step. Whatever that looks like, whatever you've been talking about, whatever you've been planning towards, whatever you've been thinking about, you know, maybe there's that person at work, maybe there's that relationship that's broken, maybe there's that decision you've been putting off, and maybe, you know, the Bible readings and the sermons and the things that we've been talking about and the songs that we've been singing or the communion meditations that have been eloquently brought to us, maybe it's been weighing on you and you've been thinking about something and you just don't know, you know God's put it on your heart. Well, this morning, make the effort to take that next step. What does God want you to do? He's already put it on your heart. He's already convicted you in your soul that something needs to be done. God, I'm no longer satisfied with the relationship that I've maintained with you for the last however many years. So what do I do now? Take the next step. Do something different. today than you have previously in your life. Taking the next step. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. See, he spent his entire ministry with these guys. And if you've got your Bibles, as Spencer read this morning already, is it Cadet Spencer or is it just Scout Spencer? Or Sergeant? Call him Sarge. In Matthew chapter 28, if you've got your Bibles, turn over there because it's important to see the Word of God before us. He says, Jesus came to them and the first thing he says is, look, all authority, not some authority, all authority has been given to me. So what he's saying, now this is the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples. This is the last thing. I mean, last words. You've heard of, you know, the sermons before where he talks about, you know, what are your last words? You know, that's what you're known for. I mean, you've got one shot to sum it all up. What is your life? What is your legacy? What do you want to be known for? And Jesus said it's this. First of all, what I'm about to say isn't just something I came up with. This isn't just spur of the moment kind of stuff. I didn't just, you know, think, okay, well, what's a good parting shot? Let me give you this. No, he said, all authority has on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So what I'm about to tell you comes with the weight of the authority of all the universe. You know, those of us who have children, have multiple children, you know the difference between telling, you know, tell your, you know, you have one child talking to another and you're on the phone or you're this or that and you say, hey, tell your brother to do this. Tell your sister to do that. And then they tell them, they turn and they go, hey, go do this, go do that, go find that. And what does that brother or sister do? I'm not doing that. You know, when Angela says, hey, Adriana, tell Shayla to go do this. Adriana tells Shayla. Shayla says, go get it yourself. And then what do you say? You tell her I said you go do this. And then Adriana says, well, Mom said that you need it. And so, ooh, okay, I'm on my way. You didn't say Mom said that. Am I right, Jake? The weight of Mom or Dad, the authority, it says, look, I'm going to tell you something, and it's not just me. It is all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth is about to say this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. He says, there, now, I've taught you. I've cleansed you. I've redefined life for you. Now we've talked about a lot of stuff. You've seen a lot of things. You've got a lot of power. You've experienced a lot of kingdom. Now take the next step. Now go and make disciples. He says there is a point to all this. He says now go and make disciples. Now he says, you know, baptize them, teaching them, you know, obey this, obey. But for us this morning, with all of my heart, I believe the most important thing for the church of Christ to understand is that the most important thing that we can do as individuals and collectively as a body is to take the next step. To do what it is that God's called us to do. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to be good. We're supposed to be, you know, not do this and do this. Not, we're supposed to deny that and pick up on that. You know, we're supposed to worship. We're supposed to all, but more important than any of that, we are to take that next step with the authority of God behind us, motivating us to go and to make disciples. Now, there's a couple of things we need to remember. Remember, you are fully justified. Remember that we talked about the last couple of weeks? You are fully justified. Write this down. I didn't put this scripture on there. But Colossians 3 and 1. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And we're just going to briefly We're going to read that passage. It says, since then, remember this, remember justification. What does justification mean? I'm before God just as if I had never sinned. I'm standing before God just as if I had never sinned. Again, brand new brother in Christ, right now, perfect before God. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? John Spencer, you are perfect before God right now. Didn't have to say a special prayer. Didn't have to hurry up and get good with it. No, no, no. Before God. John will tell you that the blood of Christ continually cleanses of you of your sin. So guess what? You've sinned. We all sin. I don't have to hurry up and say, God, please forgive me before I die. Perfect before God. The Bible tells us that. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you are in Christ, right now you are seated at the right hand of God. That's what that theology means for the Christian today. That's what he's talking about. Remember that. In Christ, you are seated at the right hand of God. You are before God. You don't have to, not timid, not, I hope he doesn't see me. I'm just going to hide right here behind Jesus' cloak. No, no, no. In Christ, you are seated the right hand of God. You are fully justified. Remember that. Remember you're fully justified. Remember that you are being fully sanctified. In Philippians 1 and 6, he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Now there is a position, a status that my soul is in before God that is justified before God. Now there's also a status that my body and my life is being made into before God, and that's sanctified, and daily he's continuing that good work, and daily I'm becoming more and more like Christ if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. And as Paul says, in Romans, it's not I, but it's Christ living in me. That's that sanctification. Remember that. That's what God is trying to do. And there is a point to all of this theology. And that point is in 1 Peter 2 and 9. Say that again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You want to go back and look at that later. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, well, we're going to start in verse 3. That's later. Yeah. The point to all this theology is this. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. For what? For what? So that God can sit us up on a shelf? Yeah, look at that, you know. You know, I have a rhino collection at my house. It's in this little case. I have 40-something rhinos. You know what I do with them? Nothing. Just sitting there on a shelf. They're not doing anything. I like them. I bought a lot of them. Some of them are neat, you know. I have this collection. Prized collection of rhinos. Good for nothing. We're not a collection for God to put on a shelf. Good for nothing. Chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, that's that next step mentality. I've been justified. I'm being sanctified to declare the praises of God so that I can go out into a dark, depraved, lost, and dying world and offer them that very theology that I have. Offer them that very theology that has changed my life. So then we get to okay, I'm remembering that. What's the point of being justified? What's the point of being put just as though I had never sinned? Think about God put you there. Remember when it said that, and they were added to the church, and you know, God has raised you up with Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. God did that. Now, think about this. If God put me there, who's going to keep you there? You see, the problem that we fall into so often is we get hung up on all the stuff that I've got to do. You didn't do anything to forgive yourself a sin. Christ did all that. Would anybody argue that Christ did all the work to forgive us for sin? Would anybody stand and say, no, 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 he didn't do all the work? I don't think we would. So if God put me there, God's keeping me there. Look at 1 Peter. That one's up there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith, who is the who? You, me, we are the who, through faith. Whose faith? Is it my mustard seed faith, or is it the faithfulness of Christ, or is it both? The theology in here is that it's both. It's my dependence on Him, but it's His faithfulness that ignited all this in the first place. He's saying that through our faith, our salvation is shielded by God's power. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not up here preaching eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I'm not. I don't believe in eternal security, but I also don't believe in eternal insecurity either. See, our salvation, it's guarded, it's shielded by the faithfulness of Christ. Now, what this should do for us is free us to do, free us to go. Because the problem is, remember standing up on the ledge, is that if I move, I'm going to fall. If I go anywhere, you know, if I'm on this tightrope standing over the Grand Canyon, and if I take one wrong step, I'm going to fall either to the left or the right. And so, you know what we do? We just stay there. But what justification does for us is it lets us understand that we're shielded by God's power. So messing up is not a problem. You see, if we're going into the world and we're making disciples, if we're doing what God has called us to do, if we're expanding His kingdom, messing up isn't the issue. Standing still is the issue. That's the point of being justified. So what's the point of being sanctified then? If being put before God as though I'd never sinned, and He put me there, and He's keeping me there, and I'm going, you know, what's the sanctification process for? Well, that's simple. Christ is a whole lot more attractive than I am. People want to be around Jesus. Do you ever notice that when you read the Gospels? He couldn't keep, I mean, over and over and over again, crowds followed Him everywhere He went. Do you notice that? I mean, just the things that He talked about, people wanted to hear that. It was provocative. It was controversial. It was different. It was powerful. It was this. And the more that I become like Christ, the more that I talk like Christ, and I walk like Christ, and I love like Christ, and I'm compassionate like Christ, and I'm authoritative like Christ, the more that I'm like that, the more people want to be around me. I mean, good and bad. Some people are going to want to love me. Some people are going to want to trip me up. But in the end, more people want to be around Jesus than want to be around me. So Christ living in me, Christ, me being sanctified to look more like Christ, that's, remember the whole, what's the point of all of this? It's so that we can declare, well, if no one's around me, then my declaration is like a tree falling in the woods and nobody's there. Did it make a sound? I don't know. If no one's around me and I'm declaring something, does anybody hear it? See, the problem is that so often what we declare, nobody wants to hear. See, our lives don't, you know, the lives of so many of the church, and we, I'll tell you, we have, as the church, we have an uphill battle. We have an uphill battle, and it started, I mean, seriously, the Crusades, are you joking me? We're going to go out and kill people who don't believe. I mean, that started way back in the, and we've been, you know, we might not be running people through with the sword anymore, but I tell you what, it's not really attractive, is it? So often the declaration that we're making isn't of Jesus. It's of, it's declaring me and declaring, you know, my understanding and my version of the gospel. So that declaration is important. It's the praises. Does the declaration that we make, is it, are we declaring the praises of God who brought us out of darkness? Because that's what 1 Peter tells us. 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2 tells us, declare the praises of God who did what? Of Him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Are we telling people, God, hey, let me tell you about God who called me out of darkness into wonderful light? Or are we declaring to people, hey, you know what? You better straighten up because God's real mad. And if He catches you on a bad day, let me read you these passages about hell. Or are we saying, you know what? God called me out of darkness into wonderful light. Do you want to be in God's wonderful light? Do you want to know? Do you let me, you know, do you want to live the life that I'm living? I mean, ask yourself that. If you had to go to people and say, do you want to live with the joy that I have? Would people say, let me get back to you on that? Because I don't see a lot of joy in your life. Do you want to live with the excitement of a relationship with God like I have? What kind of excitement are you talking about? You live in fear every day that you're going to mess up and God's going to send you straight to the bad place. I don't want that. I mean, if you had to call people and declare and say, look, do you want to have what I have? So often people are like, are you kidding me? You're just as neurotic. You're just as materialistic. You're just as scared. You're just as restless. And it costs you a Sunday morning and 10% of your salary. I don't want that. You're saying, look, I've called you. I've justified you. I've sanctified you. And see, I want you to look like Jesus because He was so attractive. Have you ever been eating a meal and had somebody so broken, so lost, so consumed with sin see you? Come into that meal and just make such a beautiful expression of love over you and just serve you and just say, thank you for offering me forgiveness. See, Jesus had that. A woman came in the middle of a meal, so overcome, overwhelmed by sin, and she wept over Him. Not because He condemned her, not because he made her feel guilty, but because just being in his presence somehow let her know that it was gonna be okay. That even though she was mired in sin, that her life was utterly and absolutely an abomination to so much of the goodness, but just His presence gave off this aura of, I know you're broken. I know you're hurting. I know that you've done things that you're not proud of and you're caught up in stuff and all that, but God loves you anyway and it's going to be okay. And she just wept it all out over Him. I've never had that happen to me. But I want to start looking more and more like Jesus so that I give off that kind of vibe. So that I give off the, you know what, it's going to be okay. I know you're hurting. I know you're broken. But it's going to be okay. You see, God's called us to attract people. You know, He justified us so we didn't have to. So relax. Relax. Go. Be free to go and to tell people about that. And He's making us more and more like Christ so that we're more attractive to them. And the fact of the matter is, this morning, the next step for us to understand, if you're hearing this message this morning, understand that Christians are called by Christ to make more Christians. That's what we're called to do. Now, I invite the friendly, loving debate that I'm going to have this week about, well, you know, I understand that. And Shane, you're the evangelist and that's, you know, that's just not my gift. Okay. I've got another scripture. It's not going to be up there, but in Ephesians 4, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 4. I promise you we're almost done. And I thought I would go a lot shorter because of my voice, but God has sustained it this morning for me. I've not choked up. I've not gotten anything. And so I believe with all my heart that that God wanted this message to be in its entirety this morning. So, hey, thank you. Ephesians chapter 4. That's, he's saying, all right, hurry up now. It was he, verse 11, it was he who gave some. He's talking about Christ. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now, there's some debate that last one, pastor teachers or pastors and teachers, doesn't matter. He says, I gave some of you to do this, some of you to do that, some of you to do this. You've all got different talents. You've all got different roles. You've all got different places. And all of this is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, building up the body of Christ isn't so that we will strengthen one another. It's not so that we'll all sit around here and make each other feel better about us being in here. It's so that the body will be built up. What he's saying is, I did all this so that everyone can be doing something to expand the body. And not expand the body like I am good at expanding my body. But like growing it bigger, more of us. Well, I guess that is kind of like I am. There's more of me now. More of me to love. That's what he's talking about. He said, the reason I put these prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists, all of it, is so that every person can be strengthened and built up and prepared to expand this thing. We all have this same call. The question is, what is your next step to make that happen? God did not call anybody just to serve the church and make us all feel comfortable and good about being here. He called us all to, in our way, using our gift and in our experiences and in our situations, to bring more of a lost and dying world into the kingdom of light and the Son that He loves. That's our call. And He justified us to free us so that we can go out freely and do that. And He sanctifies us so that we're attractive and we're drawing people to Him and not to ourselves, and we're not repelling those. And He's saying, this is what I want you to do. And so often I hear, but Shane, I can't do it. That's not my gift. I'm not good at it. I can't take the next step. Nonsense. Because where there is a desire, there is the ability. In its own feeble, fumbling, careful, slow, methodical way, even a baby can climb steps. Does it need oversight? Absolutely, and we have that. We have oversight of the Father. You've got oversight of shepherds, a preacher, of brothers and sisters to help you on your way and to make sure that when you start falling, hey, let's go. Oh, no. Not falling like, oh, you're doing it wrong. No. Falling like you're stopping. See, so often we think that I've got to, you know, what I'm supposed to do is make sure everybody's climbing the stairs right. No. My job, the shepherd's job, what we're supposed to do is make sure nobody stops climbing. I don't care if you put your left foot forward, your right foot forward, if you use your hands, if you kind of go up at a little bit of an angle, or maybe, you know, whatever, if you climb on your knees. Just don't stop. Don't stop climbing the steps. That's what we're here to do, to keep each other climbing and going and growing this kingdom. Where there is a desire, there will be activity in that direction. This week, take the next step. Whatever that looks like. There's somebody at your work that you need to be praying for. There's someone in your neighborhood that you need to be praying for. God, give me the words. Give me the opportunity. God, put me in a position for them to ask me about the hope that I have. God, give me hope. Free me so that my life is joyous. My life is exciting. That my life is, you know, that I have a joy set before me so that people want to say, why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? Why are, you know, things are going wrong. Why do you act like you do? Let me tell you about the hope that I have in Jesus. What's the next step? This morning, if you need to take that next step, if you want to take that step of confessing Christ and saying, God, justify me, begin the sanctification process so that I can start being a tool for you, adding to your kingdom, whatever that need is. If you need to take that step, take a step out into that aisle and come forward and to be prayed with, to be prayed for, to just say, God, what do you want me to do this week? Father, please put me in a situation. And then get ready, because when we ask Him to show up, I promise you He will. When we ask God to show up, I promise you He'll. What is your need this morning? Let us know as together we stand and as we sing.